Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, Kaf Ches B'Tammuz, Parashas Dvorim, Tavshin Pei 5780, the first day, Monday, 20 July 2020, podcasting from Israel in flight, as usual, from its true self. Man is a rebel. We know this from the story of Adam and Eve. They were given the first ever commandment, a negative one, don't eat the fruit from that tree. But what did they do? They went ahead and ate it. Moses received the tablets of the Ten Commandments that feature near the top the prohibition on worshiping idols. And in that very instant, God directs his attention to his people down below. And what are they doing? Worshiping an idol. Do you ever notice how seven of the Ten Commandments are negatives? Don't do this and don't do that because you will want to. And the beginning of doing good is refraining from doing bad. The first commandment to Adam and Eve said, more or less, curb your appetite, which is good advice for just about everything that man craves: food, money, power, sex. The Bible is the story of a people forever backsliding, worshiping idols, worshiping non-Jewish culture. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt to dispossess the Hamitic Canaanites and live according to his commandments in the land of Canaan, that they would transform into the land of Israel. But in the desert, they rejected the offer, leastwise 10 of the 12 spies did, and for this they were condemned to die in the desert. And since 1967, Israel has once again refused to take possession of God's gift, like the spies, first promised to Abraham almost 4,000 years ago. And for this, perhaps, the Lord uses the Gentiles to chastise us physically and psychologically. Israel keeps trying to make peace with the Arab Muslims and never fails to fail. All we get are endless attacks by terrorists and rockets out of Gaza and the animosity of world anti-Jewry. When the opposite attack might be more productive, stop trying to make peace and instead fight for the right to possess God's promised land to us. The contempt we receive by trying to make peace with concessions might result from the attempt, when demanding our rights may win true respect. And we'll get started after the following message or messages from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, Kaf Ches B'Tammuz, Parashat Dvarim, Tashin Pei 5780. First day, Monday, 20 July 2020. Podcasting from plague-stricken Israel. The number of infections being recorded daily is now through the roof. The Prime Minister has confessed he eased the lockdown too fast. But I wonder if anybody knows how to deal with such a plague. At first, Netanyahu, like governors in Florida and Texas, DeSantis and Abbott, was praised for his management of the plague. And now there, too, the numbers are reaching for the stars. Today, the prime minister was begged by restaurateurs not to shut them down again. After the Sabbath in Jerusalem, another mob, for the second time in less than a week, assembled to howl at the prime minister's residence. And in a rally in Tel Aviv as well, that turned mildly, by American standards, violent. Surely the violent ones, Israelis at their worst when imitating America, have been inspired by the scenes from the States, in particular from the once civilized and lively, lovely Portland, Oregon. Like Seattle, Washington, another lovely town, Portland is being wrecked and destroyed nightly by a kind of spiritual virus, found principally in the minds of Democrats, liberals, leftists, an identification more important to them than any religious, national, or patriotic identity. The current mayor there has talked himself into believing it's not his job to stop the vandalizing of public and private property, stop the arson, the violent assaults on people and police. It's not his job, he believes, to respond to the nightly destruction. And I say this is as much of a virus, a spiritual virus, as COVID-19 is a biological one. Both of them destructive poisons in society these days. In Jerusalem, the mob once again was shrieking that Netanyahu must resign, and by their protest acted upon their judgment that they believe is superior to the electorate and even the high court judges. But to call these people anarchists here and there is not right. There's no necessary connection between anarchism as a political idea and violent criminality. Calling these rioters anarchists bestows upon them a level of intelligence and ideological thinking that is way above their pay grade. These are just, technically in Yiddish, wildechayas, these wild animals, driven by the thrill of violence, unbridled by any sense of right or wrong or conscience or empathy for their victims. I think in Portland, martial law should be declared that allows for vandals and rioters and looters to be shot. Start shooting even one or two of these vandals, and that could put an end to the crisis real fast. Show these enemies of civilization, civilization means business. But no less horrifying than the actual scenes of violent chaos and rebellion there, against the very idea of law and order, really, has been the response of such as leading Democratic politician Nancy Pelosi. This woman is over her head. She is out of her league. She should not be in politics, certainly no political leader. Politics is about power, and governments having a monopoly on the use of violence and the right to end violence in society with superior violence, or inability to criticize vandals, is a concession to their barbarism. The word vandal, by the way, comes from the Germanic tribe, the Vandals, who swept out of Germany and down into the Iberian Peninsula. It's the root name of southern Spain. Andalusia, or what the imperialist Muslim Arabs call Al-Andalus, which they overran. There's a moment in the film epic Lawrence of Arabia when Faisal of Mecca, played by Alec Guinness, pines for a return to Al-Andalus. It was the Germanic Vandals who, by their rampaging aggression, bestowed their name on the antisocial behavior of wrecking property, as they have in Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis. This is nothing but an atavism, a regression at warp speed to humanity before the Great Flood, when men were nomadic, tribal-like hordes at best, hunter-gatherers like Bedouin marauders, with no conscience when it came to stealing and killing and resisting the shackles of civilization, resisting life in a sedentary community according to written laws, not the charismatic power of the tribal chieftain. As horrible as the scenes of these violent tantrums in American cities are by these enemies of civilization, so has been the response of those infected with a spiritual violence that renders them unable to speak against the vandalizing of government and private property. People's livelihoods have been destroyed, businesses, and the mayors and governors are incapable of defending the people who voted for them. What is going on? This is no less a danger to society than the communist Chinese germ warfare we are afflicted with. Here in Israel, we're getting ready for another lockdown or semi-lockdown. The infection statistics are skyrocketing. People, of course, are blaming the government, but I doubt that any government has the power to get the population to truly keep their distance from one another. There's also a cabin fever, isolation that makes people want to get out and get together. There are so many factors. The virus has paralyzed in Israel the now-forgotten drive to claim sovereignty somewhere in Judea and Samaria. Haven't heard much of the deal of the century in recent days. I doubt Netanyahu or anyone else could have done a better job, because like the weather, the air we breathe is not ours to control. And what the communist Chinese have done is poisoned the air we breathe. If Bibi is to blame, he who won praise 2 months ago, like the governors of Florida and Texas, how to explain the simultaneity in both locales? Maybe there is something in this organism that nobody knows about yet. The only story in Israel is this COVID-19 plague and how it's affecting schools and business. There have been, though, the daily, very short news briefs on the latest explosions in Iran, Iran of the Ayatollahs, Iran, today's Nazi Germany from Israel's point of view. Every day now in Iran, something blows up. One can guess these are Israeli operations in collaboration with a serious underground bent on bringing down the evil regime of the Ayatollahs. Moses, our teacher, showed us his awareness of the potential danger of an Iran-type situation of mixing religious leadership with political leadership. It took Gentiles in the West thousands of years and more to value the principle in statecraft of a separation of church and state. Thomas Jefferson spoke of a wall of separation, which is what Moses did in the last days of his life. He chose his brother Aaron, the greatest older brother in history, the nation's beloved uncle, to be the high priest, but chose for a political leader of the nation, Joshua ben Nun, who is not only not family, he's not even from the same tribe, because he chose him because he had the right stuff. The mixing of clerical and political power in one person is a recipe for disaster. That's Iran.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin ot deshe yarbitzeini, al mei menuchot yenhaleini. Nafshi yeshovev yancheini, b'mag letzedek leman shmo, גם כי אלך בגי צלמוות לא עיר הרע. כי אתה עמדי. שבתך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי. נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים, לאורך ימים. מזמור לדוד,
מזמור
השם רואי לא יחסר,
לא יחסר,
בין עוד דשא ירביצני, על מי מנוחות ינהלני. נפשי ישובב ינחני, במאג לצדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צלמוות לא עיר הרע, כי אתה עמדי. תנאי ננאי, נאי ננאי ננאי, תנאי ננאי, דנננננאי, נאי ננאי ננאי. Ta na 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 ta na 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 ta na 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 ta na 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 ta na 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 na
hai
shivtcha umishantcha המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורריי, נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים, לאורך ימים. דנאי נננאי נננאי נאי, דנאי נננאי נאי, Di di na 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 na. Ki ata imadi. Na 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 na. Ata imadi.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
So, the a cappella music we heard before the break was Psalm 23, lead singer and composer Yosef Karduner, and also thanks to the magic of multi-track recording and reverb technology, he is also his own chorus. So we left off with the biblical wisdom of separating religion and politics. The tragic history of the Maccabees is another example of this Jewish wisdom separating religion from statecraft. The Maccabees were heroic priests who led the resistance to the Reformed Jews of that generation, the Hellenists. But then they assumed political leadership, denied the tribe of Levi, and became corrupt. Separation of church and state is not a value in Iran, that's for sure, just the opposite. The government in Tehran is a government of delusional ayatollahs with minds diseased with fantasies of Jews as agents of Satan. Ayatollah Khomeini told the people the U.S. was the big Satan and Israel the little Satan. Well, sometimes the nicknames could be reversed in imagining a cabal of Zionists dictating to the U.S. as Israel's puppet. The explosions in Iran these days could be the work of Mossad, military intelligence, CIA, who knows, maybe the U.K.'s MI6, locals on the ground. But I'm not optimistic the regime can be brought down this way. History teaches an Iranian personality that tends to tyranny, reinforced by Shiite Islam. Islam means submission. Submission is a sublime virtue for Muslims versus liberty, which is cherished in the Judeo-Christian West. Islam is, by contrast, a totalitarian culture that crushes individual liberty. That's why they hate the Jews. It could be that nothing short of the coming of the Messiah will change things there. And Mashiach, Messiah, may not come until the Jews change themselves. One famous Jewish tenet is that the Gentiles are the instruments of chastisement that God uses to punish us for not living as he commands us to live. This is how I see the Nazi period in German history. Like Isaac Newton's law of action and reaction, so the Nazi period was a reaction to a major betrayal of the Jewish people by the Jewish people in Germany. You see, the French Gentiles at the end of the 18th century, like them, German intellectuals at the same time led the way toward the emancipation of the Jews in their country, giving them full citizenship. Only the new legal status did not change the hearts of Germans towards Jews. Apart from governmental law, professional guilds had clauses requiring members to believe in the Trinity. Universities, as well as outgrowths of medieval monasteries, were not hospitable to Jews. In droves, then, thousands of German Jews converted to Christianity in order to improve their standard of living. They were also encouraged by the reality that among at least Germany's chattering classes, religion was now old hat, no longer taken seriously in the age of reason. So Jews looked upon getting baptized as a formality, an entry ticket. Heinrich Heine, the apostate Jewish poet, said, into European culture. Ironically, the Reform movement came to life in reaction to this mass conversion as a way to stem the flood tide of abandonment of the Jewish people. Reformers wanted to modernize Judaism, make it less weird, more Christian-like. No more distinctive clothing, no more haircuts, diet, day of rest, fast days unique to Jews. All those fast days mourning the loss of the temple and really the whole country and the desire to return to the country and to Jerusalem. Reformed Jews to this day know nothing of the ninth of Av as a day to suffer a bit, as a mnemonic, a way of never forgetting one's history and roots. The Reform movement moved the Sabbath to Sunday. They send their children to Sunday schools like Christian children. The drive was to be as Christian-like as possible. They all took German first names and last names, so when the reaction from on high descended on German Jewry, it came via the hand of the devil with the little mustache, who ordered all German Jews to legally change their names by adopting the first names of Abraham and Sarah. And when things got really bad, Heil Hitler forced the Jews to sew yellow stars on their clothing so as to be identifiable in public. The 19th century in Germany began with a massive shedding of one's Jewish identity in public three generations later. The government declared someone a Jew if he had any Jewish blood of the previous three generations. And so it may be today that the Goyim continue to Israel bash, which is just this generation's mutation of classical Jew bashing. And maybe because, as usual, we are not doing what we are supposed to do, and this is what we get. We have refrained from doing for over a half a century what we should have done in 1967 when we liberated Judea and Samaria. Except for Jerusalem, in which there was a fierce battle, the whole area was taken without firing a shot. And ever since then, we have been trying to, like prostitutes, sell some of it back in exchange for a Muslim's promise of future peace. On the contrary, a little reverse psychology might work better in this situation. Instead of begging for a deal that includes, as every peace plan has, the creation of another Arab state, this one west of the Jordan River, that the League of Nations recognized as the future Palestine for Jews, Israel might declare the two-state solution to have been the work of anti-Jew Israeli leftists, Rabin, Peres, Beilin, and as such, that policy of that government no longer applies. Their big idea, the Nobel Prize-winning Oslo peace process, resulted in not peace, but the slaughter of Jews, as Jews have been slaughtered in every generation. The Oslo peace process did not bring peace, but the opposite. Thousands of Jews butchered, survivors crippled for life. Israel should declare the two-state solution to have been a leftist concept that Israel now rejects as a bloody failure. The League of Nations respected the Jewish right to all the land west of the river, from the river to the sea, and that should be Israel's claim, and act upon it, fight for it. Israel should no longer recognize the existence of a phantom Palestinian nation with the right to a state west of the Jordan River. The absence of peace in Israel and the abuse Israel receives daily around the world may be the punishment Israel deserves for refusing to accept the gift from on high in June 1967. After 6 days as miraculous as any 6 days in our history, the Six-Day War and its climax were as thrilling as any roller coaster ride, only for real. The roller coaster fools the senses into thinking death is imminent, and then the rush of salvation. These 2 weeks, the 2 weeks before the fighting, the Ishmaelites were massing in their capitals for demonstrations, mobs of millions of Muslim men and boys, shrieking, Itbach al-Yahud, slaughter the Jews, let's finish Hitler's work. In Tel Aviv, in those 2 weeks, citizens volunteered at government request to go out into the city parks and start digging graves for the expected thousands of casualties. The war began on Monday, and for the first 48 hours, the Israeli government said nothing versus the continual broadcasts of the Arab media, all government mouthpieces, broadcasting jubilant news of great victories. The oil refineries in Haifa had already been destroyed. Arab officers were already sitting in the cafes of a conquered Tel Aviv, ordering the Jews around. For those fearful for Israel in those terrible 48 hours, we had to wait till Wednesday when the government, the IDF, began to raise the curtain on the truth of an amazing military victory. Not only was Israel not destroyed, Jerusalem was liberated, and the country was 400% larger. Amazing. Only ever since, every Israeli government has held out handing over territory to the Arabs if they only make peace with us, and failing every time, because what the Arabs want is not another Arab state, but the extermination of the Jewish state, God forbid. The idea that there is a Palestinian nation pining for a state is post-1967 propaganda, psychological warfare. Read all about it in my book. Instead of constantly pining for peace with the Palestinians, which will require ceding to them 70% of Judea, according to the diasporic Jews Kushner, Greenblatt, and Friedman, Israel might politely inform the world it no longer considers the Arabs in Judea and Samaria to be Palestinians, because they exhibit no evidence of that. The Palestinian national identity is no more describable than the emperor's new clothes. There's nothing Palestinian about these people, and their claim to being indigenous to Palestine is a fraud.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So let's imagine the State of Israel, that is the Prime Minister, advising all the major news organizations that at such and such a time, he will make a major announcement, and when he does, he will dismiss the bogus claim to our country by a verbal hologram of a people. This will surely shock world anti-Jewry, starting with anti-Jew Jews like Bernie Sanders and this pathetic character named Peter Beinart. I chalk it up to the summer doldrums and the COVID-19 depression that anybody pays any attention to this character, who published the other week what for this ignoramus was a new idea He wants to see what he calls the Palestinians and Jews living together in one binational state. The two-state solution failed, he says, so let's have a one-state solution. The chronically anti-Jew Associated Press covered this story by calling Benyard, quote, an influential American commentator who has sent shockwaves through the Jewish establishment and Washington policy circles by breaking a long-standing taboo. He endorsed the idea of a democratic entity of Jews and Palestinians living with equal rights between the Jordan and the Mediterranean, arguing that the two-state solution is no longer possible, close quote. This is nothing but AP's anti-Jew propaganda, throwing holy water on a toxic idea. The AP calls him influential, and he has sent shockwaves through the Jewish establishment. And I ask, really? Are we to think, for example, that when Israel's ambassador in Washington, Ron Dermer, reports back to the prime minister on the situation in the United States, he cites the authoritative opinions of Peter Beinart? I doubt that happens. I doubt that when Ambassador Dermer in Washington confers with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about some issue, he says, you know, Peter Beinart thinks this about the situation. There's no influence from this person. What is the anti-Jew AP talking about? This man influences nobody. He's just desperate for attention and resorts to a time-honored tactic for anti-Jew Jews, which is to go public with Jew bashing, in this case, Israel bashing. Without this man's Israel bashing, the shallow and confused fellow would be as unknown and unfamous as the rest of us. Being an Israel bashing Jew is a time-honored technique for drawing attention to oneself, like Norman Finkelstein, like Bernie Sanders. Maynard apparently, obviously, knows nothing of the bloody resistance of the Arab Muslims here to us Jews, we who brought Eretz Yisrael back to life. His big idea in the year 2020 is the same big idea of a century ago in the mind of Judah Magnus, the American Reform rabbi who came here in the 1920s as the first president of Hebrew University. And after the August 1929 horrors in Hebron and elsewhere, when over 130 Jews were butchered like pigs, he thought, Magnus did, the solution would be a binational state. We'll live together in harmony. He called his circle of like-minded fools a brit shalom, covenant of peace. Beinart may or may not know of this period in Zionist history. In either case, it was an idea then not of this world and remains so. Jews and Arab Muslims are so different. The idea of a harmonious collaboration is virtually messianic. It is not of this cosmic generation in time. Only someone like Peter Beinart, empty in his head of Arab-Muslim culture and the history of the Jewish people oppressed and humiliated by Arab-Muslims from year two of Islam, could think this old, stale, failed idea. As the Palestinians are a phantom nation, so Peter Beinart is a phantom influential commentator on things Israelis. This is just the anti-Israel AP puffing up this nobody desperate for attention because he has no other accomplishments in life to merit attention. The attention he gets is just the result of the need of anti-Jews to Jew bash, which is a perennial human drive and likely will remain one until Mashiach arrives. Instead of Israelis fleeing from their authentic Jewish identity, which is primarily religious, by trying to give away some of Eretz Yisrael, the hostility to Israel in the world today may result from our own not self-respect, but self-disrespect. You know the old truism, if you don't respect yourself, no one else will. Our tolerance of the Palestinian narrative that Israelis pay obeisance to is a shameful thing. In their anti-Israel demonstrations here, the Arabs wave placards proclaiming, quote, from the river to the sea, meaning they're most certainly not interested in a Palestinian state in just Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, as fools like Peter Beinart may believe. From the river to the sea means the destruction of Israel, God forbid, as it was 1948-1967. In my book, you can read how after the Six-Day War, the PLO's worst nightmare was the idea of Israeli leftists to create a new state in the territories taken, for that would mean all the PLO founders would be shut out. The PLO leaders were all murderers of Jews in Israel before 1967, having nothing to do with Judea and Samaria. Arafat routinely assassinated, after the war, any local Arab leader favorable to the idea of creating a new state, because that would come with peace for Israel and nothing for the Arabs unhappy with Israel's victory in 1948. The creation of a state in Judea and Samaria was Arafat's worst nightmare, and that of his partner on the White House lawn, Mahmoud Abbas, who to this very day, blockhead Israeli leftists think, is a partner for peace. Peace with the Palestinians is the goal of secular Israel, which can only be accomplished by compromise. When I say, try the opposite tack, declare that there is no Palestinian people that has any right to our little ancient homeland. Their claim is a lie. They're not Palestinians. They are Arabic-speaking Muslims who have no right to a fourth officially Arab and Muslim state here. Read my book and see how the two-state solution is really the five-state solution. Right now, the Arabs rule over more than half of the classical map of Palestine, if not the fraudulent mandate map. Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan occupy 53% of the classical map. And the demand for yet another Arab-Muslim state in Palestine, this one west of the river, is simply out of the question for Israel. The Arabs rule in the majority of Eretz Yisrael at this very moment and need no more land and no more states. This character, Baynard, is a loser with not an original idea in his head, and the ideas already there in his head are not of this world. He envisions, quote, a Jewish home that is a Palestinian home, too. Aristotle said A is A and not B. The entirety of the Palestinian identity rests on the core belief we Jews stole Palestine from them. And so the very idea of sharing Palestine with them is out of the question in the minds of the alleged ancient Palestinians. Baynard has no sense of how different we Jews are from these people. He claims, like a Bernie Sanders, to support Israel, but would like to de-Judaize this state. Israel's flag bears Jewish symbols, Jewish only, and surely he would want a new flag in his new messianic binational state of peace. Baynard is not a serious thinker when it comes to Israel. Like most of the left and liberals in our degenerate, narcissistic generation who opine on public affairs, the principal purpose for them is to advertise themselves as enlightened people. When Jews like him opine on Israel, it is to display their own enlightened values. For example, rather than the strife between Jew and Arab Muslims here, Baynard imagines us getting along as good neighbors. And isn't Peter Baynard a noble fellow for imagining a nice future like that? I used to be a liberal until one evening when I realized that when liberals opine on public affairs, they are less concerned with the issue at hand than their own self-image as politically and socially and intellectually correct people. Okay, gotta go. That's it for this edition of Phantom Nation. If you appreciate this free podcast, you can buy the book called Phantom Nation. There's no other like it on Israel's endless self-defense. There is a 2-volume hardcover and less expensive Kindle ebook for your smartphone. This week's music was, again, halachically kosher and a cappella talent on display in Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Ben Tekoa.
Nai nai na na nai, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem imloch, leolam vaed, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem imloch, leolam vaed. והיה השם למלך על כל הארץ ביום ההוא יהיה השם אחד ושמו אחד הוי ננאי 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 נאי נאי ננאי 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 נאי נאי ננאי השם מלך Hashem malach, Hashem imloch, leolam va'ed, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem imloch, leolam va'ed. והיה השם למלך,
למלך על כל,
על כל הארץ, ביום ההוא יהיה השם, אחד ושמו אחד, הוי, והיה השם למלך,
למלך על כל,
על כל הארץ, ביום ההוא יהיה השם, אחד ושמו אחד, הוי, ננני, 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 Nai 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 nai
nai nai nai nai nai
nai nai nai nai
nai nai nai nai
nai nai nai nai nai
nai nai nai.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.